The following podcast contains mature language and spoilers. Listener's discretion is advised.
Dead air. We got dead air. You were in the middle of a thought and you just stopped. We're drifting.
Welcome to the Marvel Superheroes Podcast. I'm Diablo Frank, and with me are...
The Legal Machine.
Joe Fixit.
And today we're going to look at the early solo adventures of the Black Widow, beginning with her appearance in... which book did that... we've got Marvel...
Marvel Tales starring Spider-Man. Marvel Tales number 67.
Okay, and what book is it reprinting? It should be on the first page.
Oh, originally presented in Spider-Man number 86? Can't tell, the printing is a little jacked up. 86 seems early, but maybe it's 86.
You're talking about 6-7 years into the series.
Yeah, I guess so.
So why don't you... synopsize that first story.
Okay, so this first story is basically Spider-Man has just had a fight with the Kingpin and he's taken a nasty shot to the head. So he's kind of a little concussed throughout the issue. And Black Widow in her old like fishnet outfit is kind of observing him and is like, damn, I gotta get me some of these Spider-Man skills. So she goes back to her apartment, black outfit with the belt, and decides that she's gonna go try and confront Spider-Man to figure out his moves, like how he gets his strength, how he clings to walls, how he web slings, so that she can add it to her repertoire. They unveil the new outfit. The whole time they're kind of flashing over to Spider-Man. He thinks he might be losing his powers because he's just not as fast as he used to be. He's sweating, so he's probably got what they call CTE now, which is famous with football players who have multiple concussions. Which, have they done that? Have they given a superhero CTE yet?
I don't believe so.
How have they not done that? Some sort of brain injury? So the whole time he's having these like these repercussions from this concussion he's got, where he's starting to wonder if he's losing his powers, headaches, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. Black Widow confronts him, and she's showing off her web-slinging ability, where she can kind of shoot it out of the top of her wrist. She's using her Black Widow agility, and she's basically kind of kicking Spider-Man's ass. She's like, wait, why am I kicking your ass so hard? Because you're supposed to be Spider-Man. I'm learning nothing from this confrontation. Obviously, the reason is because he's been kind of incapacitated with this concussion. And then eventually, he sort of was like, what the hell's going on? Oh, anyway, so he kind of sort of just like snaps out of it. He's like, okay, I can't screw around with this anymore. Flexes and breaks out of her web, shoots his web shooters to clog up her shooters, and then just sort of jets the hell out of there. And she's extremely frustrated that she's learned nothing of his powers.
Well, she also like bails real quickly because she realizes, oh, hell, he's been toying with me this whole time. The whole point of me confronting him was to figure out what he's doing that's different, that gives him the abilities he has. And then when she sees how much more powerful he really is, she's like, oh, deuce, despite dressing like Emma Peel, which is nice and all. And she's got the Widow Bites, which I think this is the debut of her Widow Bites, isn't it? Or did she have that in the Iron Man stories?
It's my new Widow, or was that in the other one we read? No, that was in the other one we read. She does Widow Bite him here, though.
She realizes, as powerful as he is, as natural as his ability is, that he's probably born with his powers. It's nothing that she can replicate. So she just needs to stick with her own distinctive powers and fighting style and make that work to her advantage.
Great costume.
Yeah, much better look. It is funny, though, that they managed to do the coverage of her history, and all of a sudden she's had red hair the entire time.
Because it was dark hair early on, right?
They get into her personal history, too. Wasn't she kissing up on some dude? Did they get into that in that story? I thought they covered her personal history, going up against Iron Man and the Red Guardian.
I thought she was, and then she kind of blows him off because she starts having flashbacks of Hawkeye and
Red Guardian.
Yeah, her husband, the only man she loved.
And we're loved enough to marry.
There you go. Thank you.
But yeah, because the whole thing is Hawkeye is the guy who set her on the course of going from a Soviet spy to a heroine. And then through her actions, her first husband, who was a costume hero himself, manages to get himself killed. And so she's trying to work off the guilt she feels for the death of her husband and just trying to wipe the slate clean and start all over again with a new life, new costume, because she's unhappy with the person she's been in recent years.
The Red Guardian was the Russian equivalent of Captain America?
That's the impression I get. Yeah, wasn't what he was in the.
He had a shield, right? A red shield?
I don't know if he had a shield.
I thought he had a shield.
Yeah. That stuff all happened in Avengers comics, didn't it? Did you read any of that stuff?
Nah. Maybe.
Who's the creative team on this one? I don't remember. Did you mention?
I did not mention. This is author Stan Lee, illustrators John Romita Jr. and Jim Mooney.
I thought it was a good looking story.
Yeah, it was good. It was nice.
The whole thing was just a backdoor pilot, though, which is why it was just so random. She's going to fight Spider-Man in this one story where he happens to be compromised so that there is an even-ish match. But it's a backdoor pilot for her solo strip and Amazing Adventures, an anthology series that she shared with the Inhumans back in 1970. I do think that that's about right as far as the issue number. Amazing Adventures number one. Mr. Fixit, you read that one? We've got a reprint from Giant-Sized Avengers that we're working off of. I think that many, if not all, of these stories are available on the Marvel Unlimited app. I'd have to go check, though.
Then came The Black Widow. Stan Lee. Oh, and I'm sorry. Written by Gary Frederick. And John Buscema was the artist.
Who inked him? Did they say?
John Verporten.
Oh, Verporten. Okay.
Yeah, so they're right. Did not look like John Buscema. It looked a little bit like John Buscema, but not tons like.
Well, no, some of the villains do look his style. I like the cover page. It looks pretty tight.
It's like it's a silhouette of a spider and she's fighting. What is she within it, or she's like different action montage around it? Is that
around it? So it's kind of this. Each part of the screen is cut up into the spider outlines it. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so in this one, she kind of does a flashback of the story Mac just told us. She seems to be in the retire mode. She doesn't seem to be really doing anything. She sees her Spanish maid crying over something, begins to dig into what's going on with her, finds out that her son is in trouble with some gentleman, breaks down, leaves, and for some reason, Black Widow decides that she's going to go out and handle this herself, puts on her new costume, does some quick running around, talks about her new anti-gravity shoes, and then her widow's web across the room. She begins to go and investigate and has Ivan bring the car around to drive her into the apparently shadiest part of town. All the hoodlums check out the car. Ivan is somewhat concerned about dropping her off in this neighborhood where there seems to be debris and burned out buildings. She whips off her coat and then begins to climb up the wall. She's going to use her own way and basically begins to observe what's going on inside the building through the window. She's peeking through the window. There's these two mobsters in there telling the maid that her son had borrowed some money. The interest was due, and that they were going to hurt him. They're dragging him off. She jumps in.
1.2, they threatened to do something to her, and he's like, look, don't do anything to her.
Yeah, don't hurt my mom, yeah.
Which they responded to positively.
She commences to beat the hell out of him. The police show up. She disappears. Someone gets a photo of her, and that's it.
Yeah.
Wasn't there another part to this? I thought there was a... Oh, no, he comes back up. Never mind, I'm sorry.
It was just weird at the end of that episode, because she's having some like weird moral dilemma with whether or not she's going to continue to be Black Widow. It's very strange, because she doesn't have her face covered. You know what I mean? It's very strange. I thought that one was a very weird issue. That and the fact that this kid straight up owed debt to these mobsters. And so she offers the mom, well, here's my checkbook. If it's money, we'll just pay these guys to go away. And she's like, no, he needs to learn how to handle these things on his own. And it's like, these dudes are going to murder you.
Yeah,
like,
he's going to get handled.
So I don't understand how Black Widow showing up and whipping up a couple of the dudes and getting them arrested is going to somehow keep this kid from getting murked further down the line either. Like, oh, I'll go punch one of them. That'll make them not want to settle their debt with this kid. I didn't understand what the whole point of that issue was. And then, like I said, at the end, because they get a picture of her because she's not wearing a mask, she's all like, oh, well, this is going to reveal my secret identity. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this at all or whatever. And I'm like, what the hell is the point of this issue? Very strange.
What about you, Fix? What did you think of the story?
I guess, I don't know. I mean, it's an early Marvel story. So, I mean,
weird.
That's a very objective statement. It's definitely an early Marvel
it's
story.
It's definitely printed on paper with the colors and shapes.
Mac made a good point. Like, she's willing to help this lady out, but the lady's like, no, we'll handle it ourselves. They're going to murder your kid.
Well,
like,
she may not have known that they was going to go that far. Quickly.
But then you got an Avenger beating up two street thugs. It just seems a little overkill.
Her driver, like, they're trying to introduce some sort of supporting cast, right?
Yeah.
But again, at the end of the episode, she's like, shit, I shouldn't be doing this superhero shit anyway. The end. It was a very strange issue.
I guess this was kind of a filler story, maybe?
No, this is the first installment of her ongoing serial.
That's what I'm saying.
They're launching the book based on the strength of this Black Widow story.
This was the setup for that first story.
Wow.
The Spider-Man story wasn't very good. It basically was just like, look at my new costume and powers, and this is the reason why I have my new costume and powers.
So wait a minute.
And now that I've beaten Spider-Man while he's compromised, join me in Amazing Adventures. You know?
I'm going to take on a super-powered being, get new weapons, and go beat up regular old human beings with these same weapons.
Because some kid's got a gambling debt.
Well, and not just that, too. She'd proven against Spider-Man that, the shit that I got really isn't that good. Let me go beat up random thugs in Queens.
Yeah.
The only one instance where I've got the original copy instead of a reprint, I've got Amazing Adventures number 2 here. It is from September 1970. The lead story is The Inhumans by writer-artist Jack Kirby, which is interesting to see because it didn't occur to me that Kirby was still around at this point and had done stuff where he was clearly credited as the writer. So I'd be somewhat interested in reading this just to see if it's as good or as bad, depending on which direction it goes, as Kirby's period material was. If there was maybe some proto new god stuff in there or something. Also, I don't know if they flipped back and forth, but technically Black Widow is the backup strip. She's second billed on the cover and she's got the shorter of the two stories. This one's called The Young Warriors. It's written and plotted again by Gary Friedrich, penciled by John Buscema, inked by John Verproten. It's basically the same sort of image as the splash image from the first issue, where you've got a central image of Black Widow and then a montage of action sequences around her. And my problem is that this story is a total of 10 pages. And so one of those pages is devoted to a meaningless splash page. I think that maybe both these stories, you want to start strong in a first issue, but it seems like losing a page of story, given how bleh the story has been so far, wouldn't be the best way to go. But by the same token, I'm wondering if maybe the reason why they're doing this is because they don't know what the fuck to do with this character. And it's just a way of filling space because they're getting paid for 10 pages regardless of what's on the pages. So in this issue, this is where it happens. So yes, she's kissing a dude. The dude doesn't kiss as good as superhero people. So she has him leave. They make a point of saying that she's more known as Madame Natasha, this jet setting identity she's created around herself. She's basically a Bruce Wayne for the 1960s. She's running around in her Emma Peel outfit. Everybody from Jackie O on down would want to be able to fill out a suit like this, blah, blah, blah. So then she goes and visits her new Latino friend. What's a fucking kid's name again?
I feel like you're trying to bait me into just naming a bunch of Hispanic names.
Well, it's Carlos. So that's pretty close. You'd have probably nailed it within the first 3 to 5, I guess.
Very good possibility, yeah.
And it's Maria and Carlos besides. So let's really do this. And so I guess apparently they're now that they, because they could clearly see that Madame Natasha is running around in leather and beating people up. Oh, you're the Black Widow too. So now they're hanging out her apartment. Black Widow decides to show off how good she is at being Black Widow. So you have an entire page of her just like jumping around a gym, showing off her different toys and her athletic abilities. And it's nice looking. It's a good, I mean, she's sexy in the outfit. It's good drawings. But wow, we're halfway through the story already and fuck all has happened. So then what it turns out is that Carlos is in a gang called the Young Warriors.
Mm.
And what they're going to do is they want to illegally...
So is that why the New Warriors were the team that came after them?
Could be. Also led by a minority, but a little slightly more effective group.
Night Thrasher.
That's the one, yes. The skateboarding vigilante.
Huh?
I forgot about him.
With truncheons.
Is he in the skateboard like attached to his back?
Yeah, there's a lot wrong right from go. And this guy came out right around the time of Rodney King, and he's dressed like a fascist with truncheons. Like, there's a reason why they kind of got rid of that character and forgot that he ever existed. So anyway, the Young Warriors have decided they're going to illegally take over a building. They're doing this because it's owned by Anthony Scarola, who is some sort of political figure who has been representing this barrio. And so he figures, you know, nobody will ever do anything against us. We're the only reason why any of you people get to eat. And the Young Warriors like, bullshit, you suck, down with the man, get the fuck out. And so they basically run this guy out. And then they set up, it's like a soup kitchen for children. They set this up like the same day. Or
Carlos does this?
Carlos does this.
Oh, he's such a sweetheart. So, classic Carlos.
Free breakfast for all the children. For the first time, our people are eating food instead of campaign promises from the mouths of social criminals. Definitely a Bernie bro.
Yeah, definitely.
During the very first breakfast, after they've taken over this building run by mafia guys show up, dressed like it's still the 1930s, complete with a fucking Tommy gun.
Yes.
And they're like, we're going to just shoot you all. We could take legal measures against you because you're here illegally. But the boss thinks that maybe we should shoot people in front of children or just shoot children with Tommy guns in 1970. Black Widow just happens to be there being shown around by Carlos. So she proceeds to beat the fuck out of these guys. And then the cops randomly show up. That was quick. And they serve notice to Carlos. Hey, get the fuck out of here. You're illegal. You're lucky that we're not taking you to fucking jail.
They're trying to make the barrio great again.
Carlos is like, no, we've got everything set up. This is where people know to come. You illegally occupy occupy this fucking building, you know?
You squatters out.
So then this reporter dude shows up, this Steve Trevor looking motherfucker. Strange words coming from a superheroine who's aligned herself with the militancy of the Young Warriors. I'm Paul Hamilton. I'm a columnist for the New York Press, among other things. Perhaps you don't know it, but some of the papers have already made a red-eyed radical out of you, including, unfortunately, my own newspaper headline, Black Widow Aligns with Militants. And so they're introducing this guy on the last page where he's like, well, maybe I can work with you to help your image. And next issue, A City Against Her. And it's like, what the fuck are we doing? This story doesn't make a lot of sense.
What is the end game here?
Who wants to fucking read this story? They're trying to like be politically aware, but they're not really getting that across. And why is Black Widow involved in inner city crime? It's just like the fucking shit with Black Panther, where he comes over as the king of the Wakandas. He sees the slums of New York City and decides, oh, I'm going to become a school teacher. You're the fucking king of the Wakandas. What the fuck is this shit? I'm a leftist. You know, I don't make a secret of that. But this is just some dumbass, short-sighted, thoughtless, knee-jerk liberal bullshit. It's got nothing to do with the fucking characters. They want this feel-good bullshit where it's like, yeah, I'm on the side of the insurgents. To do what? To do illegal shit and to have really shitty plans and to antagonize people that you know are prone to fucking violence because you got a fucking superhero that's going to high-kick them? What the fuck is this shit? These are bad fucking stories.
Yeah,
this is three in a row, just fucking garbage. I just don't think they know what the fuck to do. I think the Spider-Man story was okay because they at least knew who the character was and they have her do some superhero type shit by finding Spider-Man. But then you get into the ongoing series and it's like they're just completely fucking spinning their wheels with this shit.
This was like written on like a cocktail napkin and somebody just said turn this into a 10-page story.
Yeah, it's like, a lot of fucking filler and no rhythm to it. And
I say cocktail napkin because they were obviously drinking heavily when they began doing it.
Actually, I wish they'd been drinking heavily. I don't think that they drunk enough.
They stole a building and they were trying to serve kids soup in a soup kitchen, and that's like what's going on, dude? Like who came up with this? It seems almost like it's too hard to come up with.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like if it's one of those things where you can have like Google randomly generate shit, this is like some random Mad Lib shit that Google would have created.
Yeah, it's like listening to uneducated supporters of a political candidate where they're like, he's really great because
yes, this is stuff. Like if you took internet comments and constructed them into a story
from people who are ill-informed, who don't know how things actually work, who can't tell you the ABC. It's just like, well, because he says he's going to do this, because she said hey, we're going to do that. It's
well,
like,
somebody should come and shoot up your soup kitchen with a Tommy gun. I bet his name's Carlos and Maria.
And he's the guy, and he owes money. And see, that's the thing, too. They never get into, why does Carlos owe money to mobsters?
Yeah.
Didn't they say something about like gambling debts and shit?
I assumed they were gambling debts.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's going to be, you know, a dozen churro habit a day.
Oh, no, dude. It was cockfighting. Or he took out money for a taco truck and didn't pay him back. I'm surprised. Like, hey, it's also...
The 70s weren't ready for taco trucks.
It's just so obviously written by just like an old white guy.
No, I think it's a young, ignorant white guy.
That's what I mean. A young, ignorant white guy.
Who's an old white guy now.
Yeah, that's true. Because of time.
What is it called? Felt almost like method writing, like they were just writing shit down and it's gonna
I think that it was some guy probably with a deadline feverishly writing with a vague sense of what the fuck they were doing after reading something in the paper and getting really hot over it. So
what's riling the kids up nowadays?
Soup kitchens are the thing.
Yeah, soup kitchen. People want soup kitchens and other people want them to not have soup kitchens. Okay, that's the story.
The people in the slums don't have what they need. What do people in the slums need? To feed their children. Soup kitchen for children.
I love the line. What was the line where now they can eat food instead of the lies of government?
It sounds kind of great. It's dumb as shit.
A child can't get nourishment from lies. What a ridiculous comment. These children would have been dead years ago. They're obviously eating something, whether it be garbage or drugs. They're getting some sort of nourishment. Just silly.
Yeah. And this is why the series didn't make it.
Let me look real quick. I don't know how long this shit lasted. I'm curious now.
Does this mean we can finally like do that Marvel fanfare stuff? Have we done enough Black Widow now that we can actually like read or look at pretty Black Widow stuff?
I think so, yeah. I think we can jump from here to that.
Yay! Who wrote those?
Well, it was pretty. John Buscema's nothing to... Or Buscema... Somebody told me the pronunciation. I think it actually is supposed to be like Buscema.
Okay.
Just like Kubert is Kubert with a hard T. It's Art T-Bear because he's Canadian, so he's got that French-fied spelling or whatever. Yeah. But the Americans say Kubert, apparently. So, but I've been saying Kubert for fucking 20 years now. I don't know if I can adjust.
So is it Jan Derskema?
Shit, she followed us. Ask her.
Okay, I will. But that's just another typed medium.
Okay, so Amazing Adventures managed to make it to 6 issues. Is that right? What? Okay, good. Yeah, 6 issues. Yeah. Well, no, because the next volume was 39 issues. So they got 6 issues out of this volume. Wait, no? No, they got 39 issues.
But she continued to be in it for 39 issues?
No, I'm pretty confident that didn't happen. She made it to issue 8. And then they had full-length Inhumans Adventures. And then they brought in the Beast, which ties this fucking shit into Hellcat. Oh, I didn't even fucking know it.
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, cool. That's the Beast, Mad Dog shit, right?
Yeah, was it still Amazing Adventures at that point, or was it Bizarre? Fuck it, who cares? So anyway, one of the reasons why I want to read this, besides the fact that it shows the transition of Black Widow from the Iron Man villain to the version that we're more familiar with, and it shows the trajectory of the character. Because from this point, after Amazing Adventures wraps up, she goes to San Francisco and is the partner for Daredevil. And so this kind of sets her level where she's a street-level vigilante instead of a international super spy. And then she's the sidekick of Daredevil for quite a few years. So this is where they take her. This is where they take this character.
I guess I can kind of see the seeds of that, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And this carries on until the 80s, at least. That's actually one of the things, when we see the Marvel Fanfare stuff, she's back into international affairs and espionage type shit and superpowered beings. But for most of the 70s, it's just her hanging out with fucking Daredevil, fighting street-level people and fucking Stiltman and shit, whatever the fuck. I don't know. Nobody cares what the fuck Daredevil was doing in the 1970s. And she was the token chick hanging out with Daredevil. Daredevil was C-list, so what's that mean for her? She's the sidekick to a C-lister and the romantic interest of a C-lister. So here's one of the things I'm going with. Besides the fact that this helps us to transition to greeting better Black Widow stories, because I like to do a semi-chronological kind of thing with these character spotlights. But here's what I'm thinking. Obviously, Ike Perlmutter has issues with women. And, you know, recently it was revealed that Shane Black, when he was writing Iron Man 3, was going to have a female antagonist, probably somebody along the lines of the Rebecca Hall character, a character that I was interested in, I thought was really wasted in the movie. I mean, she seemed to almost have no point whatsoever for being in the movie. She's the one who shows up to tell Tony that people are coming after him after he told people to come after him. But I like the idea of a female antagonist, and we haven't seen that in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Really. Has there been any evil women in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
We'll get one probably in the next Thor, I'm guessing. But
maybe, but right now, where
no,
are we
no,
at?
No, no, I don't think so.
Nothing, right?
Maybe Nebula?
No, who in the movies that have actually come out so far?
Yeah, Nebula.
Yeah, Nebula in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie that came out. Thank you, sir, for paying attention during the podcast.
Yeah, I had to think about it, but yeah, he's right, Nebula.
But not a primary. She was a lackey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But good catch. So yeah, and then I would say too that Whitney Frost in Agent Carter was great too, but nobody watched that shit, so it doesn't really matter. So we haven't had any really strong and certainly not a primary female antagonist. We would have if things had progressed the way they were intended to with Iron Man 3. The understanding is that Ike Perlmutter directly or via the toy company's well-known biases with the Rey controversy related to Star Wars. You know, here's one of the two primary characters in a brand new Star Wars movie, and we're not going to make action figures and shit of her. Stupid. But they basically said, you know, we can't sell a woman protagonist as an action figure, so you're going to have to change your script for a fucking movie. That got a lot of people pissed off when that got revealed.
Here's the problem. The reason I don't get that is, did you see any of the other dude's toys anywhere? Like, I don't
remember Iron Man 3
toys. Did they even make Iron Man 3 toys?
Yeah, they did. My understanding is that there is an Aldrich Killian action figure out there.
There isn't. Is there really?
Yeah. I don't know if there's a Pepper Potts, but there's apparently an Aldrich Killian.
All right.
And I
you know what? I actually think for some reason I can picture a Pepper Potts Extremis toy.
Yeah, okay. But
I may just be making that up.
I just don't know how I can remember that name. I of all the things I've remembered and forgotten over the years, I can't remember. I just can't believe I remember that fucking dude's name.
Wow.
Anyhow.
Because he was entirely forgettable.
Not just that. That's not an easy name either. Aldrich Killian?
No
fucking humans have that name. That's like the name of two different surnames put on like a hospital or a production plant or something. Mm-hmm. This is Aldrich.
The law offices of Aldrich Killian.
Boy, I wouldn't want to get sued by those fuckers. No. So we didn't get the female antagonist. And then, of course, people have been saying, well, when is Black Widow getting a movie? For years and years. Where's her movie? All the other guys have movies. The only one who doesn't have a movie besides her is Hawkeye. When are we getting that? And now... they're actually seriously talking about finally getting around to a Black Widow movie. There was apparently a really excellent script written a number of years ago by someone who pretty much, I don't know if they did it on spec or it was just a passion project for them. And it was very well received, but they had no intention of making this Black Widow movie. You know, whenever they'd ask Kevin Feige, he would just kind of hem and haw and not give a straight answer. Well, now that Ike Perlmutter is not reigning over Marvel Studios, all of a sudden they're seriously going to look at doing this Black Widow movie.
Well, not just a movie, I believe franchise was the word they used.
Well, I mean, well, if they're going to do one movie,
everything they intend to be a franchise.
Yeah.
Ant-Man's going to be a franchise. So, I mean,
but sometimes I wonder, was that always planned though?
I don't think that they could necessarily assume there was going to be a home run. I mean, that, there's a reason why Ant-Man? it took a while to get that out. Yeah, I'm sure in part because who knew if that was going to be one that would make it? I mean, that was one of the ones.
No, I know, but I'm saying now it's made it.
Yeah.
So now they're like,
yeah, boom, we're doing franchise.
Everything that comes out now is a franchise. If we can make Ant-Man a franchise, everything's going to be a franchise. And even if it's not a franchise, so here's the thing. I'm not really sure if any of these movies are like, do you really think a series of Black Widow movies is just going to be Black Widow? Or you think they're going to have Chris Evans and all to well,
there was a thing.
Or Hawkeye and all of them. Yeah. They're all going to be pseudo mini Avengers movies, I'm afraid.
Well, and already Anthony Mackie has been like, hey, I want to be the Falcon in the Black Widow movie.
Right, of course.
So already, you know, getting on that
racket. I want to be the Falcon. Hey, this is the Falcon and I'm in your movie. Don't you want to talk to Red Wing some more? Remember Red Wing? It's me, the Falcon.
I haven't seen any big surge in Falcon movie talk, so there's just something
now,
to that.
Well, now there's a neck and neck competition between Hawkeye and Falcon, and
right,
who's the least favorite of
they're going to be all in her movie too. Mm.
But okay, so here's the thing though: when Black Widow was introduced in Iron Man, that character, after you'd seen her in that one movie, did anybody want to see her fucking movie? I mean, I'm not talking about like feminists and people who want representation. All kind of bullshit.
Like a female Jason just born movie or what?
Well, I'm talking about you when you watch Iron Man 2, when you walk out of that movie.
You're like, damn, they better spin her off into a movie.
No, I thought it was really cool. I mean, she came out and kicked some ass, but I didn't think she warranted a movie.
After Avengers, what did you think?
Nope.
No. And I loved her in Avengers. I thought that some of the best scenes of that movie were Black Widow scenes. After hating on Scarlett Johansson, you know, I really did not like her as Black Widow the first time out, and I was still very resentful.
I really like her in Iron Man 2, so I don't understand why you...
No, she didn't look right to me. I didn't think
she looked hotter in Iron Man 2 than she looked in any of these other movies.
Yeah, and I completely disagree with that. And I just was so resentful because it should have been Mila. It's Mila Jovovich's role. She's a fucking redhead. She's a fucking Russian. She does action movies. She dresses like that. All the Resident Evil movies is the kind of shit that Black Widow would be able to do in her movies. I know she's not that big of a star. I have a great love for Mila
Jovovich. But she's already kind of tied to the Resident Evil movies, so.
There is that. And also, I'm sure age is a factor because by the time they started doing these, she's 40 at this point.
She still looks ridiculous.
She's fucking gorgeous.
She ridiculous.
Looks so good.
Scarlett Johansson's a hipper, newer.
She's a
actor,
hipper person. She was a bigger name. In fact, I think the argument could be made that she seemed like she might have been too big of a name at that point in time.
Uh-huh.
So then you go into I did not care for her performance at all. I did not like her in Iron Man 2 at the time I saw it. And then I saw Avengers and I thought the character was so well handled. I thought that Scarlett Johansson had just made a quantum leap in how she interpreted that character, and the writing on the character was so much better in Avengers than in Iron Man 2 that it retroactively made me forgive whatever issues I had with the character when I would watch Iron Man 2 again. I just loved Black Widow in Avengers, but I still didn't see a movie there. You know, you could do maybe a little TV series or something like that, but not an actual movie of nothing but Black Widow.
And now?
Well, I'm still going. Then we see the Winter Soldier.
She's badass in Winter Soldier, too.
She's so fucking badass in Winter Soldier. After the Winter Soldier, did you see a movie for her?
I was a little more on board with it after Winter Soldier.
Maybe a flashback movie?
Well, but then you got Age of Ultron.
Well, but I don't want to jump into that just yet.
Well, that's the next movie.
I know that's the next movie, but I'm not done talking about Winter Soldier.
Okay.
I was on board with Winter Soldier because, for starters, it showed that Avengers wasn't a fluke, that ScarJo had made that progress in interpreting the character, that she was just as interesting in Winter Soldier as she had been in Avengers. Maybe not quite as interesting, but she had so much more screen time, and she was so much more vital to the overall story in Winter Soldier versus where she had been in the Avengers. There was this obvious tension between her and Captain America. You can't just have her keep showing up as a sidekick to Cap, and that I really felt like that movie was a great showcase to show what was possible with the character of Black Widow. But I didn't feel like her partnership with Cap was sustainable. Not only did she demonstrate that there was a lot of story to tell with this character and that she could carry a movie, because that's the first time she really had to do that. She's got a supporting role in the Iron Man movie. Yeah, she kicks a lot of ass, but I don't feel like she was integral to that movie. She wasn't integral to the Avengers. She's smart. She gets information out of Loki. I don't feel like the Avengers wouldn't have done what they did without her. But by the time you get to the Winter Soldier doesn't work without Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
She's so important to driving that story, contrasting her against Steve, his determination and his morality versus her cunning and her recognition of the true forces at work in the world and her willingness to compromise and his ability to sway her to not compromise when there is a point where you have to make a stand and not just to adapt and not just to hide in the shadows and let tragedies unfold in front of you. I thought that movie was hugely important to the development of the Black Widow character. And that's when I saw, okay, this actress in this role is ready for her own movie. And then Age of Ultron.
Yeah, I think she took a serious step back in Age of Ultron. I kind of liked some of the flashback stuff. I don't think they needed to sterilize her. That was kind of a little, probably went a little too far.
I saw the reason behind it though, because they didn't want her to get pregnant to care for something. Like the mission was the only thing she should care about. So,
right.
And it gave her a nice little dark twist.
But to me, you're revealing so much. That should have been a reveal in her own movie.
But see, I don't think they were planning her own movie at the time.
I know.
So they were trying to kind
of
cram it
in. I'm just saying
here.
That's one of the reasons why you're like, okay, well, I don't need to hear any more of that backstory.
It was sort of like the complaint that you have about books like Justice League. With Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, you can't do anything interesting and really develop those characters. I think that Joss Whedon looked at the Avengers as, okay, well, Black Widow's mine, so I can do stuff with her that I can't do with Cap, Iron Man, or Hulk.
True.
But none of it was very good.
For me,
But that's because the movie wasn't good.
That's okay.
I obviously have a strong emotional attachment to Julie Delpy from the Before Sunrise, Sunset, Before Midnight, and even the 2 Days movies. I love the fact that she's the handler in this. I love that the fact that there is this female handler recalls, you know, Point of No Return, La Femme Nikita, that kind of stuff. I don't need a Black Widow origin movie. I don't want to see DJ CGI ScarJo. I like that her background is mysterious. I like that they make subtle references to shit that I don't want them to ever fucking pay off, because the whole point is to add texture to the character. You don't have to tell every goddamn story. I don't need to know that Logan is really James Howlett, you know, that kind of bullshit. So I think they gave us just enough story of just enough for a backstory to be intriguing and to show what kind of things she was subjected to and why she is the way that she is. But I don't want to deal with that at all. I want to see her in new adventures. But then Age of Ultron happens, and she's one of the worst things about that movie.
Well, and they also in some of the movies they talk about Loki talks about the red in her ledger, right? I mean, like, you know, she's done some
fucked up.
They've
shit.
Hinted there's some
the
fucked up
hospital
shit she's
fire,
done. Right?
You know, it's like you can stop right there.
Yeah, you can stop right there. We don't
the
care
hospital
about
fire. Okay, right. I know what the fuck happened there. That was not cool. There's two main issues. Main issue number one is that she was pregnant, and they were having to work around her pregnancy, which is like the number one thing that everybody quotes for income inequality, because everybody assumes at some point you're going to get pregnant and you're going to fuck up their work schedules and you're going to force them to pay out money they don't want to pay, that takes money off their bottom line. She's a terrible part of a movie that she had previously been great in because they're working around the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny to me that they have that sterilization story in Age of Ultron, because it's almost like metatextually referring to how her pregnancy was fucking up this movie and fucking up Joss Whedon's plan.
That's a weird way to look at it.
Yeah.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Right. Another issue, though, is that with Avengers, it's Joss trying to find those iconic moments and tell you stories about the characters as you know them and as you want to see them. And one of the failings of Age of Ultron is he decided to do a Joss Whedon movie, and he wanted to do Joss Whedon shit, and he's forcing the characters to act in service to the types of stories he wants to tell rather than telling their stories. And that's how he ended up with bullshit like shipping fucking Bruce Banner and Natasha Romanoff. It doesn't fucking work.
Nobody
liked that. That's one of the big sticking points for most people with that movie. It's like those two of all the people.
I get that maybe she's the one that can calm him down and be his handler. Right. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like that. I didn't see
the lullaby and stuff.
Yeah.
To try and develop some sort of romantic thing. When did you think you were ever going to have time to actually revisit this?
Mm-hmm.
In a Hulk movie that they're never going to make? In a Black Widow movie they're never going to make? What was the point of any of that other than just wasted air? Like, you know what I mean?
Part of the point of it is for Natasha to betray Bruce. Bruce and for Bruce to get sent the fuck off. They deal with it for one movie because they know they're never going to deal with it again. And again, I do think that is a situation where it's like, okay, well, instead of having her kicking a bunch of ass and stuff, we can have all these talky soap opera scenes between them where she's wearing a loose fitting robe. So we're not having to worry about the bump showing. It felt like very much shuffling shit around just to make her appearance work at all.
I suppose. Either way, it's a step back.
Yeah, but at the same time, I really don't blame her. I blame the circumstances and the demands of their schedules and shit where they could have, should have just
shot all of her stuff later or something.
Yeah, or just not have Black Widow in it. She's off on a mission and just leave it at that.
You could have Maria Hill doing the lullaby.
Yeah, you take out all the Black Widow shit and give us more time with Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. So those are better developed characters.
Falcon do the lullaby.
Fuck off with that shit. From there, we go to Civil War. After Civil War, what do you think about this character?
She's badass, dude. She kicked more ass than almost anybody in the whole movie.
In terms of the physical combat, demonstrated the choreography, I think that she was absolutely the best performer. But the character was best realized.
Which is why I don't buy a lot of what you just said. Because all that stunt work is done by stunt people. They could have had her out of her freaking robes.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
You would think, but we look at Age of Ultron, and obviously they were doing all kinds of
weird stuff.
Dicey shit that didn't fucking pan out. It looked fucking fake. There's been some talk about that, like doing something with her in Civil War. For some reason, especially the second time, I didn't have a problem with it the first time. For some reason, the second time when I was complaining about the time frame in Civil War, somewhere in my brain, I thought that Natasha was with them. Like she had ended up on the raft. And of course, that makes no sense. When I thought about it for a little bit, it's like, she wasn't on the raft. What the fuck? What was I thinking about that? So if she was not on the raft, that also means that she's probably not in Wakanda. So she's not with those Avengers. She's seen as a traitor to Tony Stark's Avengers. There's no reason to assume that Black Widow even knows where the fuck Steve's Avengers are. So she's the one that's out on her own now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a story we need to fucking have told. I guess
that's true. She's the one person whose storyline didn't get tied up.
Yeah.
Right.
She's still out there somewhere. She knows that the government's coming after her. She knows that she doesn't have a home with
Tony.
Well,
she's definitely not going to be in Wakanda because she tasered Black Panther and that's the end of that. Right?
But even with him coming around, she doesn't know that they're there. Nobody can fucking know that they're there. So if nobody knows that they're there, Natasha can't know. So she's out there on her own. And it's interesting to me because me and Fixit watch Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And they just made this big deal about spinning off two of the characters, Hunter and Mockingbird. Mockingbird, of course, being the more important of the two. This whole series was supposed to be about those two characters having done something in a very public fashion that makes it impossible for them to be S.H.I.E.L.D. agents anymore because their mere presence compromised the group too much. They have to be officially disavowed. They cannot in any way associate with the S.H.I.E.L.D. team anymore, or they'll bring the entire team down. They basically have to be sacrificed in order for the team to continue to exist. And so the intention was that they were going to go off and be in their own show, Marvel's Most Wanted, which ABC declined to pick up ultimately. So that's two female starring series that ABC either canceled or failed to move past the pilot phase. But the premise is pretty solid, actually. They don't have the backing of S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore. They don't have the backing of the U.S. government. They have a lot of enemies completely on their own. They're isolated. Well, that's Black Widow's role, too. The governments are actively looking for her. She is one of the superpowered beings. She's probably seen as a key to finding the Avengers, even though she doesn't know where the fucking Avengers are anymore. So everybody's going to be after Black Widow. And then, of course, all of her history is now public knowledge as well. All kinds of biases, all sorts of people that didn't. Like, they're Zemos. The world is full of Zemos looking for Black Widow. Never has there been a more perfect time. Never has Black Widow been more perfectly positioned to be in a movie than now. I want to see that movie now.
Yeah.
And she can't have fucking Falcon in her movie, and she can't have Hawkeye in her movie because they're fucking off in Wakanda
right now.
And she can't know about that. So she has to be on her own. They just made a big deal about how Margot Robbie has her production shingle. And she's obviously gotten a lot of heat since Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
She's getting a lot of heat as the central player of Suicide Squad to the point where people are starting to realize, wait, this whole Joker thing hasn't really worked out, and we've been trying to push Jared Leto as the thing that was going to sell this movie, but fucking Margot Robbie and her hot pants and her goofy accent are what's got most people excited that aren't Mr. Fix-It.
Very true.
But I don't know if you guys have you heard about this? I'm not ringing any bells with you, am I?
No.
She and her production team go into Warner Brothers, and they say, let's do this. Let's do a Harley Quinn solo movie, but instead of it being just a solo movie, she's also going to be meeting and teaming up with other heroines of the DC Universe. She has her own team of book now called Harley Quinn's Black Book. where it's just like Marvel Team Up or DC Comics Presents or Brave and the Bold, where it's her and some other character, usually a heroine, but sometimes not. And I guess to some degree, I mean, I don't want to make this comparison. Nobody wants to make this comparison. Wolverine Origins, where Wolverine's just running around and meeting people, mm-hmm. but not horrible. And
so that's like Forrest Gump.
Yeah, kind of a little bit, but that's probably not the comparison anybody really wants to draw either.
All right, sir.
But the point is,
that's the one I want to make. So that's what we're making.
Fine. So Harley's going to go off and meet other heroines, and they're talking about, well, that's a good way to get Black Canary or some of these other DC heroines that aren't as well known but could work at her level and get them introduced and start building their universe through Harley Quinn. And so they're going to make it. They've actually said, okay, this is a great idea. Sign some contracts. Let's get this shit made. As long as Suicide Squad doesn't tank, and it's not going to, and we know this, as long as you don't alienate the audiences, we're just going to go ahead and make this movie and build up our universe. Well, Black Widow can do the same fucking thing. They don't even have to wait as long because Suicide Squad is out this year. They can be working a Black Widow movie. Well, fucking Ghost in the Shell, that's right. She's working on Ghost in the Shell, so I imagine they're going to wait and see if Ghost in the Shell goes over. But have Black Widow go out and start introducing all these people from the greater Marvel Universe. You know, Chloe Bennett from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was bitching recently about how the movies make no acknowledgement of any of the TV characters. Have her fucking have Natasha and Jessica Jones run around for a little bit in a movie. She's trying to be on the down low. She's trying to get some information. She's to farm out some help. Or introduce brand new characters through the Black Widow movie and let her be the one who's generating the next franchise, and she's the headliner who's getting this stuff done. You don't have to put her out there completely on her own, but there's such a wealth of stories to tell with that character now that I want to see that shit happen. I'm excited about the prospect of a Black Widow movie. It's like this in these stupid Amazing Adventure stories. This is a situation where I feel like even if Ike Perlmutter wasn't getting in the way of making a Black Widow movie, I don't think that the world was really ready for her to have her own movies yet. I don't think that they'd laid enough groundwork mm-hmm. within these movies that she is a guest star or co-star in for her to have her own movie and have that work. But I think at this point, they'd be fools not to make that movie. I think that the character has proven herself. The actress has proven herself. There's so much material to mine that we've moved past the point of what would you do? Why were we making a Black Widow movie just to make a movie? Now that's a story that needs to be told. That's a story that I think everybody would be excited to see. I'd rather see a Black Widow movie than the Wonder Woman movie that's coming out next year. I want Wonder Woman to be in a movie, obviously. I hope that movie's going to be fucking awesome. But because it was made under the Zack Snyder mentality, I'm afraid it's just going to be more of the same bullshit. I'd be more excited to see right now at this moment a Black Widow movie than to see the Wonder Woman movie they've already made.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the whole team up deal, though.
Well, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is
You weren't saying. You were saying that's an option.
I'm not saying make it a team up movie. What I'm saying is that when Black Widow's out there in a movie, and if you're afraid of Black Widow not being able to carry the movie on her own, don't go and grab the same guys and do the same shit they've already been doing. Let's look at more of the Marvel espionage community. In the Most Wanted series, they were going to hook up with Thing Rames, who was going to play Dominic Fortune, the mercenary character.
No,
well, I'm not saying that you need to do that in the Black Widow movie, but you could go to those type of characters, hopefully higher end ones, make, you know, have her on a Russian adventure. Fuck, you could have her dealing with Zemo since she didn't get the chance to do it in this movie, but let her explore the Marvel universe and bring in some of these elements that work for her that wouldn't necessarily work in the other people's movies. And you can also build franchises out of Black Widow as well. It didn't have to be a team up movie like the Harley Quinn's going to be, but when you're doing a Marvel movie, you're going to have Marvel characters. Like you said, Maria Hill shows up, Nick Fury shows up. You still create a circle of people for her to work around, and you can generate stories out of her. There are a lot of Marvel characters that need to be introduced, and they can be introduced in her movie.
The problem, though, is that I think you have to do some governmental shit with her, and I think people are starting to kind of get over the governmental shit.
But you don't.
Have more hype?
She's a fucking, like, she's a renegade.
I just feel like that's what they would do. You got to go back to the tap, and she's got to be running from some government, or she's got, you know what I mean?
Well, she is running from, they're all running from the government now.
I know, but they're all running from the government. So you're just going to have another government.
Well, are you saying versus the superhero movies, or just in general, like Jason Bourne and fucking fact that the MIM team is always
in a lot of ways the Captain America side of Civil War was very much a Jason Bourne movie, and didn't even Winter Soldier play Jason Bourne in one of these other knockoff Bourne movies, or am I thinking of Clint?
No, you're thinking of Clint. He was in the Bourne Supremacy or some shit, whatever that.
The
Bourne Ultimatum. I don't know, some bullshit like that.
Bourne Infinity War, Bourne Infinity Crusade. So I don't know. I feel like. Yeah, I think that she's got as much cachet right now to do a movie. I just don't know what the plot would be that would make sense for her isn't kind of already sort of rehashing what we've already done in Captain America or some shit like that.
She's on the run. She's got to do something, you know, MacGuffin. And she hangs out with fucking Luke Cage and Iron Fist and all these other fuckers. And lets them actually get tapped in the movie. Do a Black Widow movie where she does hang out with the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because it's much easier to get these TV actors to appear in a Marvel movie than to get the Marvel movie actors to appear in the TV show.
Yeah, like you just said, nobody fucking watches that show. So why, why should they be popping up in a
movie? You would get so excited for the connection, though, just to, even a cameo. You would get more excited because it would still make her feel part of, like a big part of the Marvel Universe because she's the world's ultimate spy. So she's not going to go off and fight some stupid-ass Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. villain. She's going to go off and fight a big deal badass like fucking Scorpio or something. I mean, don't get me wrong, relatively speaking. You know, she could go off and fight the kind of guys that Nick Fury used to fight.
Okay, okay.
You know, do the super spy shit. Do the kind of shit that Nick Fury used to do, but now you've got a woman who's an ass kicker doing the kind of shit that he did. Have her go against the fucking Zodiac.
Yeah.
Have her been in an interesting locale like in Asia or someplace where we haven't spent a lot of time and she's kind of standing out like a sore thumb, but she's got a mission that she's got to take care of with everybody's after her, but she's dealing with this right here. So you can have a fucking action sequence whenever the fuck you want to because everybody's after her. But you also have to have that superpower element. You have to make sure she's still part of the Marvel Universe because she's too big for just playing Jane spy adventures. She's got to be going after superpowered elements and be the underdog in those situations. And you see her, you know that she's a badass, but now she's a badass without a Hulk backing her up.
I dig the Zodiac. Mm-hmm. I can see that. So let's do that movie.
Or the Magia.
When do you,
have her trying to seek asylum and she ends up running up against the Marvel incarnation of the Mob and have her go up against somebody like Silvermane, the cyborg dude.
Yeah. Okay. When do you want to start drafting a copy of it?
I'm just kidding.
Like I said, I agree. I just think that would be the trouble isn't, I don't think making the movie, the trouble is finding an appropriate script that's not rehashing government spy shit that's already been done.
And again,
not only in the Marvel Universe or sort of just aping a Jason Bourne kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a key element. That's like, that's one of the issues I was going to have.
So if you can find an original spin with Ant-Man, like I don't know what the hell they're going to do with Ant-Man. Well, Ant-Man, that movie's totally different than the other movie that has come out recently. The whole caper style kind of stuff.
Well, and that's
totally
another
different.
Obvious connection there too, is Scott Lang is hiding in Wakanda. Wasp and Hank Pym don't know it that. And so they could be seeking her out to find out information on her, or they could be needing her as an agent for some activity that they have that Ant-Man is no longer available for. You know, there's all kinds of ways of making this work. You use the universe to buoy this film, but what would be great about a Black Widow movie is that you would have the Marvel Universe, but it wouldn't be as oppressive as some of the more recent movies have been. You could make notations of, okay, this guy was doing this and this guy was doing that, but you don't have to draw in like 15 different characters and all their different histories and how it all interconnects. You just use it to give it flavor and to make it distinctly different from all the other spy movies that are out there.
Yeah, but you are right, though, that now's the time, because then you don't have the, well, why doesn't she just call Iron Man? Mm-hmm. Why doesn't she just call Captain America to come help? Now it's like, she can't.
Right.
Because they're on the run and or hate her guts.
Well, also, and the fact is, the Mission Impossible movies are still making a bunch of fucking money. The last Bourne movie didn't do that great, but the ones that Matt Damon were in did really well.
If you really wanted to, you could even have her wrap up one of these last Infinity Stone stories.
Possibly, yeah. I'm not a huge fan of dealing with that.
No, I know, but it would tie her more to the cosmic.
Well, yeah, you could definitely,
not that she'd be in space,
yeah.
But it's Hydra's got one.
She's looking for a Fabergé egg like you had an octopus.
Sure,
and just happens to have a stone inside of it. Nobody knows about it. Weird shit's happening around it. I know it's a weird thing. The orb from The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
Yeah,
where it's a Western stories. It's Wild Wild West done all over again, but you have this one metaphysical element that's making things all fucking weird, and she has to deal with that weirdness.
Yeah. So it still ties itself into the Marvel Universe. It's not Loki's staff, and they're going through space and doing all sorts of crazy shit. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Well, no, literally, like the space stone. Somebody has a device that allows them to teleport, which would be hugely important to spies or hugely important to government.
So is her on her own as a normal flesh and blood human being having to deal with that crazy shit?
Trying to get this teleportation device that turns out to have a stone. Yeah. And it all ties together. We worked this shit out.
Well, there
Cut us a check.
Cut us a check, please. Send that to Marvel Superheroes Podcast, P.O. Box 18527, Houston, Texas. I don't even know. Is that a real P.O. Box? Who knows?
Probably not. We received new Twitter follows from Basement Condition Podcast, Ben Bailey, Careless Deviation Podcast, Cutaways Podcast, David Taylor, Fitness Vegan, Ice in the Face Podcast, and Naomi Street Art. We got retweets from Bam Comics Podcast, Between the Pages, Comic Reflections, Dr. Ange, The Shazam Cast, Siskoid, and Talk Nerdy to Me Podcast. Twitter favorites from Brody's Kitchen, David Golding, Funny Comics, Justice's First Dawn, Longbox Crusade, Podcast Radio, Pal Science, Ryan Daly, Say Hello to the Bad Guys Podcast, Sean Phillips, Steve Sellers, Wilson Fisk 187, and Wonder Woman Warrior for Peace Podcast. Now the Mary Marvel Marching Society, the 108th Sage, Ali Bats, a Beardo Talks Film Podcast, Bud's Beer and Brutality Podcast, Chris Sheehan, Columbus Comics Corner, Darren and Ruth Sutherland, Dude Imagine If Podcast, Fast Forward Rewind Podcast, Geek Yogurt Podcast, Good Times Great Movies Podcast, Joe Crawford, Just in Time Podcast, Keith G. Baker, Kevin Daji, King Size Comics Giant Size Fun Podcast, The League of Geeks, Namor Submariner Podcast, Ohm Activate, Out of the Fridge, Pietro Maximoff, Richard Field, Shampoo, The Silver and Gold Podcast, and We're All Monsters.
The Marvel Superheroes Podcast is in no way affiliated with or endorsed by Marvel Entertainment. All characters mentioned and audio clips employed are believed covered under fair use, with no infringement intended against their copyright holders. The views expressed in this podcast are assumed legitimate, truthful, and solely possessed by the speaker. Never ever vicious. Where will you be then?
The beginning of this issue starts out with Tony Stark. He's working on this anti-gravity device. And this is where already the story went off the rails for me. He decides
This isn't the anti-gravity device was in the solo story, isn't it?
I'm talking about the comic book.
It is in the comic book?
Yeah, this is in the first part? This is in the first appearance of Black Widow.
Okay, my bad.
So he is trying to mess with this anti-gravity device, and then he says something like, I can't get this thing to work, so I'm just going to arrange the wires a certain way. Hey, it's set up like this. Let me give it a shot. And lo and behold, this anti-gravity device works. But he says that he didn't even – and he says it before he turns the shit on – that he didn't even try and remember or write down how he arranged it, right? So he fires this thing up. It works. And he's like, my God, it works. There's no way I can duplicate this. This is the only one I've made. I'm the brilliant Tony Stark, and I fucking happenstanced lucked into this shit. So he goes on and he tells the army, hey, I finally perfected this anti-gravity device, but I gotta tell ya, I'm this brilliant scientist, I don't know how I did it, and I can't replicate it. He keeps saying it over and over again, making him look shittier and shittier. So as he's demonstrating it for the army, there's some paparazzi guy who snaps some pictures of it. He runs off. The USSR catches wave of this, so they say, hey, you know what? We gotta send motherfucking
Boris and Natasha
out there, Borak and Natasha, to get this shit. So that's kind of where the story goes. They're going out. They're trying to get this anti-gravity device. Fuck, I think you're right. This is the second issue. God damn it, man. I am off my fucking rails today.
Hopefully it's charged enough and not on.
Yeah, I got to follow along. This is the worst podcast ever.
No, dude, how are the ducks going to work?
You think it was the worst? I said it was the worst and you disagreed with me.
No, obviously.
Yeah, that's the actual worst.
But in terms of editing, Power of the Duck, a fucking nightmare. Because you have to understand, we're discussing one part of the movie while another part of the movie is playing.
This is going to be the worst one to edit ever.
So the continuity is completely fucked up. I kept thinking, I should have been done with it like Wednesday or Thursday. And I'm still working on it on Saturday. Because I can't get the continuity straight between what we're talking about versus what's on the screen.
I should have said the creative team was on this too.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Okay. So the story starts out. Fuck me. The story starts out
That would be kind of an interesting story to start out with. Was that Black Widow?
That would be way better than this actual issue. So
did Ivan Vanko have a career in the comics or what?
Okay, Anton Vanko is Mickey Rourke, Whiplash.
No, he was Ivan. I think you're right. No. Is IMDb you're checking this one?
For the purposes of our podcast, no. It's all coming back to me. Edit all this out, you fucking asshole. You had to bring up goddamn Whiplash. Civil War. Anton Vanko's first appearance was in Iron Man vs. Whiplash, 1-4, based on the character from Iron Man 2.
Okay, so Iron Man vs. Whiplash was a cinematic universe comic book, not an actual Marvel comic. So Anton was created for the movie, is what we're seeing?
Yes.
Okay. So, and Anton is the father, then?
No, Anton is... I don't know. Wait, what?
Ivan Vanko is Whiplash in the movie, right?
No, Anton Vanko is Whiplash in the movie. Ivan Vanko is Chris.
Look at Mickey Rourke's fucking IMDb page. I'm telling you, he's Ivan Vanko, and the father is Anton.
Anton Rocky Horror?
Did he rub Black Widow's feet? Did he touch her feet in a familiar way?
Look, man, touching a woman's feet and sticking your tongue in the holiest of holies ain't even the same goddamn thing. Ain't even the same.
Thank you.
Sticking your tongue in the holiest of holies.
Don't tell me that doesn't look good.
I am a huge fan. Is that white toast too?
Mm-hmm.
So you did it fucking right. Some people are huge advocates of wheat toasted. I know.
You're going to eat a goddamn grilled cheese.
I can't even say it without it's disgusting.
It's not just that, though. There's nothing remotely healthy about a grilled cheese sandwich. So don't try to pretend like you're doing something for yourself by making it wheat bread.
It's fucking stupid. And it tastes all sour and weird. Fucking gross.
I can see sourdough being good, though.
Nope. White fucking toast. He plays Ivan Vanko. Fucking weird. Well, then why did Anton Vanko bring up Whiplash's Wikipedia page?
Under what other context would Anton Vanko come up?
I don't fucking know. Professor Anton Vanko, the first Crimson Dynamo. Now I'm all confused. Crimson Dynamo, Anton Vanko. Shit, we're going to have to re-record this whole fucking podcast. You have anything I can charge my phone?
Probably.
I need the micro USB, please, to power my cellular device. Thank you. Finish your cheese sandwich, you American bastard. I'm gonna sneeze. It didn't happen. Fuck you, edit that out.
By the way, I can't tell you how many times.
Do 100% finish chewing that fucking sandwich before you talk in the goddamn microphone. Have some respect. You're disrespecting me right now. You're disrespecting the listeners, and you're disrespecting that poor piece of foam covering that microphone that now has chunks of cheddar. Oh, God, that is awful. That is terrible.
I can't tell you how many times I had to edit out Mr. Fix-It snorting during the movie recordings.
I don't know what that's about.
Over and over
was
again.
Was he really doing that?
He was doing that the whole time. He had a nose full of snot, and he just kept sucking it up on us.
Yeah, he had a little head cold thing.
In this story, we've got Ivan Vanko, and he's sent by the Ruskies to...
Anton Vanko.
Anton Vanko's in the... No, I thought he was Ivan in the cartoon we just watched.
I don't know what the fuck his name was in the cartoon. In the comic book, he's Anton Vanko.
Okay, you just read the comic, so I'm going to believe you.
Where's your fucking...
It's charging downstairs, just like your phone's charging.
Get the iPad.
You're going to edit all this shit out, dude. I'm not even fucking... This is just completely destroys our podcast. Hey, buy some Lysol at the store. We need to spray these mic condoms down. So that does make
sense. Oh, does he have super strength? I didn't catch that part.
Yeah, when he first walks into the office, he's talking to main goon Russian boss. He was like, hey, come around my desk. And he's like, Boris does not come around desk. He lifts desk, and he like picks the desk up over his head. And everybody's like, damn, this dude's for real.
Only just this last week saw Rocky IV for the first time. So I guess he's juicing the way that
fuck
guy was.
Off my... We need to do a Rocky IV podcast.
No, we really don't.
I'm telling you, dude, I get so fucking hyped when I watch Rocky IV. It's unavoidable. You cannot not get hyped up watching Rocky IV.
I could dispute that because not only did I not get hyped, I could go the rest of my life without ever seeing that trash again.
You are out of your mind. It's horrible, dude.
All the cheesy music, the montages. There's literally a song-length montage of scenes from previous Rocky movies as he's driving around in his sports car to this shitty Team America World Police music.
No.
It's horrible.
Great parts of Rocky IV. When Apollo Creed dies.
That was cool.
It's an exhibition. Who fucking saw that coming? Well, nobody would have seen them killing Apollo Creed at the beginning of the fucking movie.
No, I'll give you that. It's just that before I'd ever seen a Rocky movie, I already knew that happened because I think I read the Mad Magazine.
Two. It touches on steroid use because that's how they got Ivan Drago. Anton Drago? Just kidding. that's how he gets all fucking roided up and crazy, and he's going nuts and all.
Right, they're doing the whole parallel thing where he's working in the lab with the scientists, where Rocky is out on a cliff doing
it
natural,
yes, dude. And
even though we know, you know, Stallone was fucking juicing like a motherfucker.
Dude, he was shredded in that movie. Three, he almost died in that movie.
Stallone did?
Yeah, because the fuck is the fucking actor that was Ivan Drago?
Oh, you're talking about Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren is a legit boxer. And so they were actually making contact in those fighting scenes. And he hit him so hard, he like ruptured his spleen or he had some sort of internal bleeding.
God in heaven.
Dude, legit. He's been very complimentary of... I think they went through the cast and like talked about how any of those guys could actually fight. And he was like, Dolph Lundgren could have been a legit heavyweight boxer. Like,
well, his reach has got to be fucking ridiculous.
Dude, freaking.
How tall is that guy?
I don't know. He's got a flat top. That... excuse things. And Stallone is really short. It's difficult. Like, you would think, like, Schwarzenegger's super, super tall. He's really not that tall.
Schwarzenegger's
really not that tall.
He's in the sixes.
Wiki, hit it up, buddy.
Okay.
Right, when you watch Terminator.
First, I got to spell Schwarzenegger.
No, just type Arnold, and it does it.
6'2".
6'2".
He's a lot smaller than you would think, though. Yeah. Not that 6'2 is small, mind, watch but this. Much smaller.
Yeah, let's see how tall Dolph Lundgren is. 6'5".
Oh, yeah. That's tall, significant. Dude. Yeah.
So type Schwarzenegger again. Stallone's what, 5'?
Stallone is 5'10".
He is 100% not 5'.
No, he is. I guarantee he's not 5'10 either. That's reported height.
Okay. So now type Schwarzenegger Chamberlain. Incredible picture that broke the internet when I first saw it.
Oh, I've seen this one.
This is the best picture ever.
Will Chamberlain is so fucking enormous. Well, so is Andre the Giant, mind.
We've got to do a podcast on Andre the Giant. Can you see how big Andre's hands are? So we're gonna go way off. There are pictures. So type Andre the Giant hand. You have to do it. They say that his hands were so big that you could pass an egg through one of his rings.
Oh shit! It makes a grown man's hand look like a child's.
That's Muhammad Ali.
Look at the expression of Muhammad Ali's face.
Muhammad Ali had like an 84-inch reach. Muhammad Ali is a large human being. Large human being. That is freakish, dude. That is freakish how big his hands were. I don't know how legit real that is, but that's awesome. So here are some stories of Andre the Giant that are fucking awesome. One, he got into an argument with somebody who rear-ended his car, so he got out and turned the guy's car over in the street. He picked it up and flipped it over in the street. Two, you can pass an egg through one of his rings. Okay, those are my two Andre the Giant stories that I think are incredibly awesome. I love Andre the Giant fascinates me. They also said that he would drink like infinite. Because he could never get drunk. His body would process all the alcohol and he never would like feel the effects of alcohol. Then I think there are also some weird stories about him not being able to impregnate ladies because he was too giant. And then he finally was able to and it freaked him out or something. I don't know. None of that should be in the podcast.
I'm not so sure. I think you're much more excited about Rocky IV and Andre the Giant than you were about the Black Widow.
The montage of him working out in the barn is fucking awesome.
I saw that. It's okay.
With the beard? Awesome.
Stallone should rock the beard more often. Both him and Schwarzenegger are much better looking with beards. Much cooler looking.
You're taking this to an uncomfortable spot.
No, I'm not talking about like attractiveness. I'm saying they just look cooler. They look like more like badasses.
But when he takes off his robe for that final fight, Stallone is outrageously shredded in that final fight. Crazy shredded. Like, I don't know how much that dude had to work to get that. I don't know what that dude was putting in his body to look like that. He is insanely fucking ripped for that final fight. It's crazy. It was a great fight. And when they get to the whole fucking crowd,
I didn't actually watch the fight. I think I glanced at it a few times. No, and wasn't really interested.
He turns the whole Russian crowd against the fucking Russians.
I heard the speech. Oh,
so great.
It's really hard not to root for a guy who's like 5'6" in reality. 5'8" maybe. Maybe.
It's a really good fight scene.
But
it's not as good as Rocky 3 with Mr. T is the best one. I know this is
You mean the fight? Is the best. The movie is the best movie.
Okay. Yeah. That's the best movie. The one I can watch over and over and over again. I can watch Rocky 3 a million times over and over and over.
Yeah, because Rocky's depressing.
Followed close. Yeah, he fucking loses. People forget Rocky loses in Rocky 1. People don't remember this shit because nobody actually watches these movies.
Well, you all nowadays.
People watch Rocky 3.
They watch them in a marathon, so they forget that where Rocky ends and Rocky 2 begins.
Right. Yeah. Because it blends. Rocky 3 and Rocky 4 I can watch infinite times. Those are two great movies. Those are some just awesome, fun movies to watch.
I don't think I've ever seen Rocky 3.
Oh, Rocky 3.
I know I've seen
badass.
Rocky. I mean, I own Rocky. I know I've seen Rocky 2 because I remember
T
him winning the
bad.
Fight with Apollo. I think I only got to see like the first 15, 20 minutes of Rocky 3 and that's all I've ever seen.
Clubber Lane, Mr. T's
right, they made an action figure of Clubber Lane. I remember that.
You hate that guy. He is so hateable in that movie. He's a bad motherfucker in that movie. And you are like, I fucking hate this guy. But you also hate Rocky in the beginning, too. So when he mops the floor with Rocky, you're like, oh, shit, this guy's a fucking beast. He's basically Mike Tyson in that movie. It's awesome.
Was Mike Tyson already active at that
point? Don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he had to be.
That was the late 80s, wasn't it, when he got active? Mid-late 80s?
Hit it up. Now I have to know. We've gone down this wiki rabbit hole now. It says he's 5'10". That's not true either.
He's only 5'10"?
It says 5'10". No, he's notoriously short.
Mike Tyson? I didn't realize Mike Tyson was short.
He's
I didn't
tiny
know that.
Dude. Yeah, he's super small for a heavyweight fighter. But his arms were larger than large. Also a genetic freak, Mike Tyson.
Well, you know, come to mention it, he was in an episode of How I Met Your Mother where he and Kobe Smulders, I don't recall there being a real big difference in their heights. And Smulders is supposed to be pretty tall, isn't she? So 85, it looks like.
85, 86, 87 is when he started going nuts. When did Rocky III come out? I feel so bad for you having to edit this. This is never going to make air.
82. Oh, so shit. No, definitely not Tyson.
Okay, edit all that out. I was wrong.
Well, I mean, Apollo Creed was very much Cassius Clay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I wonder who...
Was there like a beast like Tyson before Tyson?
I wonder... There had to be. So who was Clubber? Because he didn't come up with any of these characters. He stole all of these characters. Let's get that straight. Sylvester Stallone ripped off all of these characters.
Well, they'll keep going down. There's usually that sort of stuff is in the production, usually.
George Foreman, that makes sense. Larry Holmes, the big bruisers. Liston, Foreman, and Larry Holmes, that makes sense.
I like how they had to combine three different guys to get to Clubber Lang.
Yeah. Have you ever watched that?
I also like that the guy who answered that question has got an Archie Bunker icon.
Yeah, that's awesome. Meathead. So, did you ever watch the movie The Real Rocky?
No.
You should watch The Real Rocky.
Are you sure that I should watch The Rocky?
Yes, you should watch The Real Rocky.
Okay. Because I'm notoriously averse to sports.
It's got so little to do with sports. Okay. It's jaw-dropping. The story of Chuck Wepner is jaw-dropping when you compare it to Rocky. And it goes into the lawsuit against Sylvester Stallone. It's good.
Okay.
The Real Rocky is really good.
We'll check that out.
That's a 30 for 30, but I don't think that one's available on Netflix.
Motherfucker.
I think you'll have to find that. It may be bootlegged on YouTube or something, but I suggest seeking it out and finding it. It's really good.
Okay.
You're like, wow, that is kind of like Rocky. And you're like, wow. You're like, holy shit. And you find out that he and Sylvester Stallone were buddies and everything. It's really bizarre.
Yeah. Or bizarre, you mean problematic, troubling, ethically.
Bizarre that it took so long to reach a conclusion.
Okay. Oh, the court case?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure Stallone could afford better lawyers.
He should have bought better ones. Because he got took.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just spoiled it. Spoilers.
I did not spoil it. Trust
okay.
me. That's
so. That's not. Hey, how about that Black Widow?
So Black Widow, she was played by Flavor Flav's wife in Rocky IV.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, though, because Brigitte Nielsen is who you're talking about.
Brigitte Nielsen.
But you do have a bit of a connection there, too, because Brigitte Nielsen tried to play She-Hulk. There's a promotional image of her from the early 90s with her decked out in green with like a silver outfit. And then Angela Bowie, wife of David, tried to get a Daredevil series off the ground where she cosplayed as Natasha from the 70s. And it didn't get picked up by anybody all. But there's promotional art out there that's pretty nifty. Well, at least she looks good. The guy who dresses Daredevil is ridiculous. He looks like he made his shit out of kitchen utensils, but she looks good because again she's just spandex.
I want to see it then.
Oh, we gotta see it then.
All right, so this was a pretty terrible origin, and then we actually read the issue after that and it was just as bad. So here are some things that I want to talk about Black Widow.
We got to cover the story. What is the story? It's pretty basic.
Is that Wonder Woman? Oh shit. Oh
yeah, she did Wonder Woman too.
Oh my god.
That Daredevil is ridiculous. I know I've insane. Seen whatever that mask is made of somewhere. Where have I seen that? Is that just like stereotypical devil horns?
I don't know.
Who's that guy, the gay guy from the 60s that would be running around playing the devil? He always spoke like this.
I don't know.
But he wore devil horns like that.
Ripped horn? I don't know.
It's face paint and dime store, like magic store devil horn.
Does he still have his hair there too? Or is that like
He's got a skull cap on. They wisely did it in black and white because I think the color would make that
scene. What is up with cheekbones in the 70s? That's
weird. They were just big in the 70s. Oh, well, heroin. Heroin was popular in the 70s.
That's where I was.
So anyhow, so far off course. Okay, so Black Widow actually had...
shit.
What are you seeing?
Who was that?
Nice work.
Yeah. Freckles. Okay.
We're easily distracted. These stories are really not very good at all.
So the second issue starts with Tony Stark. I guess we can't really cover Abattoir because I haven't read it recently. I'm trying to think of Black Widow appearances that we've...
Yeah, are you good?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, that was right.
It's nice to get a woman in there. Yeah, you helped us to give us some fuel because we weren't doing very well on our own.
Yeah, but you didn't tell me what. I mean, I was like...
I've heard you rant about Black Widow enough times. I knew you had it in you.
Documentary about a murderer that happened in Memphis, and now you call me to do this. I'm like,
grilled cheese sandwiches, Rants Against Black Widow. I know who I got to go to for these things.
Black Widow's costumes are fucking awesome, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the great thing is when you've got a suit that's essentially black or variations on dark shades, it's hard to screw that up.
Yeah, but the gray one's awesome, too, where she had the short hair with the little collar.
Oh, yeah. That's honestly, I kind of miss that. I was talking about how I had this. Here's the two things. Two women that I had issues with when I was younger is Black Widow and Storm. Because Storm with Mohawk when I was a kid freaked me out. I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah.
And now it is like the hottest thing. She is so hot when she's got the Mohawk. I don't find her very interesting with full head of hair. It's just the Mohawk. There's something about it. I get this thing. I like women with shaved sides. Like Natalie Dormer in the new Hunger Games movie. Yeah. I really want to see that because...
Doesn't work for me.
It doesn't work for her? Dormer, or it doesn't work in general?
Dormer's already... She's got a sort of strange look.
And I like that she steers into it. When she tries to be too normal, it doesn't work for me.
To me, I understand what they're going for. If there's something that doesn't look right about it...
Okay. Well, I've seen... She did a magazine shoot while she still had the shaved head. This half-shaved head.
Ooh. It looks fake in the movie.
Does it? Maybe that's the issue. Did you see that? I think it was in Vanity Fair.
Didn't see it. Don't care.
You got to see it. It's good stuff. You like Natalie Dormer, though.
I do.
You saw that short movie she did for the Michael Fassbender movie, right? The Ridley Scott thing?
No.
You never saw that?
No.
Yeah, I showed that to you. It's really hot. Where Michael Fassbender was shopping for lingerie.
Maybe I did.
Yeah, that was really freaking hot. Anyhow, way off topic.
Yeah, I saw that.
You remember that one?
That was her.
And then Black Widow, because her with long hair is... There's so many long-haired redheads. She's going to be the second redhead we've covered in her own Spotlight podcast, and we're not even, 25 episodes in. But a short, intense-looking redhead, not as much, where she's got the severe crop.
Yeah.
So it makes her look much more distinctive than all the other. Because, I mean, honestly, how would you tell if Mary Jane Watson were to cosplay as Black Widow?
It's true. And then, so there's a great scene in this was a Kaminsky-Morgan issue of Iron Man. When was this? Early 300s, maybe? Black Widow. This is another Russian revisit. We've got another Crimson Dynamo. Titanium Man comes back, and Black Widow's in it. A story I would have much rather read than this one. But there's a great scene where Tony and Natasha are sort of getting reacquainted on one of his private jets, and he drops a thing about, I kind of miss the old costume. And she's like, the one with the fishnets? And they both have this hilarious laugh together because, they're old. It's an old flame. So it was cool that he kind of harkened back to, I kind of like the one with the fishnets. You know what I mean? Like, it was... So it's nice that even Tony has his favorite of her costumes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was expecting. Unfortunately, in these two issues, she wasn't in any really costume. But
no, I mean, again, she's just
a dress.
She's just a dame.
Yeah, which, again, adds to what a letdown these issues
are. Well, it's a disappointment because it's just like, if we'd spent a few issues with Tony just running around in the suit? I mean, Tony's cool and all, but if he's just millionaire playboy, he doesn't do anything. He's not physical. He's not fighting anybody. He's not inventing anything. He's just sort of like, playing a detective. It's not even really Iron Man anymore at that point, is it?
No.
I mean, and not just Iron Man. It's not even really Tony Stark by that point. If you have him in like a locked door parlor mystery, it's you're not looking for that. That's a Batman story. That's not a Tony Stark story.
Okay. So we should say to everybody, this is not a good introduction to Black Widow, but you like Black Widow and I like Black Widow. So we just felt that before we could really delve into other Black Widow comics, we should at least recap the origin. How many people have read Tales of Suspense 52 and 53?
Probably more than ever should have.
I think that is completely accurate. But I'm guessing that probably nobody that's listened to this, even people who really like Black Widow, have probably never really read those two issues.
And they shouldn't, and we just saved you the trouble. Don't do that.
Don't read the issues.
Just leave it alone.
They don't go into her past. Right, what kind of terrible origin is this? They don't go into her past. They don't really establish any sort of powers. They don't do any of that.
Well, I think the worst crime, especially in the first appearance, is she's not even a particularly compelling villain. She doesn't do anything. Boris is doing all the heavy lifting. So, I mean, when she's introduced, it's the Black Widow and her henchman. And the henchman does all the freaking work, and she doesn't do anything besides feign injury. It's...
Yeah.
That's not Natasha Romanoff. That's not the character that we know and want to see more of.
This issue spits in the face of hashtag Frank's agenda.
It does indeed.
And I didn't care for it.
But I'm glad we got it out of the way so we can move on to better things.
Right. From this point on, we will cover much better Black Widow stuff. We promise.
Except that we now have to cover the Hawkeye early appearances, which feature the terrible Black Widow that we just covered. So we're still stuck with this chick.
Is there a chance it could be better?
There's a chance.